VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, we're grateful that you've joined us here today on Crosstalk as we are going to talk about an issue you may not be familiar with but need to know about. I mean, you look at the issues that are confronting us as a nation right now. Inflation, gas and energy prices that are going through the roof, the war on beef, social justice, environmental justice, the belief around the world that America has been weakened, porous borders, critical race theory education, gender fluidity, the decimation of girls' sports, and the list goes on and on and on. But our guest today indicates that all of these things are impacted by elections. It's critical for this nation to have free and fair elections and to restore integrity to our election system. And unless this happens, we are doomed to all of these and other issues, and it's only going to get worse. Not only is there concern over what happened in 2020 in matters pertaining to election integrity, but where are we headed this fall? Where are we headed in the elections to come? Our guest today is coming with a warning. Warning of a threat to our elections by a nationwide voter data gathering system called ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center. Joining us today, we welcome back Tom DeWeese, president of the American Policy Center. Tom is one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics education, and American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He's the author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property and Individuals, and Erase, a Political Novel. Tom, thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
You know, all these things that you advocate for, those were once viewed as being common sense in our nation.
Yeah, and, you know, the Secretary of State of each state, basically their job was to look at the voter rolls, make sure they're clean, make sure that everything is honest, so we have free and fair, honest elections. Yeah. And suddenly that has become racist. And
yeah.
We're not allowed to talk about that. Yeah. And, you know, anytime we now talk about election fraud and that sort of thing, well, that's just a lie from Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they throw out. And it's, even Republicans are doing that. And, you know, if we could get a free and fair election where the ballot box is secure and your vote counts and we don't have illegals voting, we don't have people voting 14 times, then we could, you know, probably clean up a whole lot of problems in this country. But all of a sudden we're told if you say anything like that, then you're just mean and nasty.
Well, we're going to be talking about ERIC today, but just as a foundation for this, so often when we talk about issues, and again, folks, ERIC is the Electronic Registration Information Center. Tom, we're often told, as a very basis, we're told to follow the money. So before we talk about what ERIC is, who is funding ERIC? What is the source of its resources?
Well, it came from a grant from the Pew Charitable Trust. And people think, oh, well, okay, grant from that. Pew Charitable Trust is one of the top grant makers for the very far-left radical environmental movement. But where did Pew get the money? According to a report that was revealed, the George Soros-funded Open Society provided the original grant, and it went through Pew to set this up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was originally set up to be what they called a blue state project. In other words, a voter registration program for the left to put progressives and their policies into power.
Now, isn't he the same one that did the massive funding behind district attorneys who would not uphold the law?
Absolutely. You hear it over and over again. District attorneys, state attorneys, so forth, that have taken money from Soros to get elected and get into office. I mean, the man, he runs a chessboard. He knows exactly where to put people. He needs them to put these policies in place. He knows exactly how to do that, and he's done it very effectively.
So what exactly is ERIC, Electronic Registration Information Center? What is it?
Well, First of all, it's a membership organization. The states pay them $25,000 to join, and then when they do, then the state will get one of their people on their board. It was set up to be supposedly an organization to establish to maintain state voter rolls. And so, at first it started out with a lot of blue states joining it. In recent years, some red states, including Texas and Florida, have joined it. And they believe that what they're setting up here is cleaning the voter rolls. But the way it works, first the states submit to ERIC all the details on inactive and active voters every 60 days. But then they have to provide, the states have to provide every individual in their state's motor vehicle department database. And so, in other words, they're building a massive database of potential voters, who they are, what they are, their date of birth, their social security number, all this kind of information. And then ERIC wants a list of all the individuals in other agencies that perform, this is the interesting part, that perform voter registration functions. This includes staff in public libraries, Department of Safety, the Unemployment Department, Department of Health, Social Services, and it also includes those people who are, their job is supposed to be to watch on election day what's going on. They want names of all those people in their voter, in their databases.
So the poll workers?
Yes.
Okay, so ERIC was established, and the lure, I guess, then for states is, hey, we're going to come alongside, we're going to help you clean up your voter rolls. Because every state's feeling pressure for this, and is that the carrot that brings states on board?
That's pretty much it, yeah. I mean, because there's been so much focus on voter fraud, and states want to show, oh, we're doing something. But they're not paying attention to what, some of the reports I've gotten is some Secretary of State's have tried to ask questions of ERIC, and they aren't getting answers. But they, you know, they get into this thing. Of course, the legislatures are the ones that put them into it. And, why aren't they answering? The one thing that is not there in any of this is ERIC doesn't want to know anything about illegal voters, anything like that. They don't want to know any of that. So it's not part of it. So how can it be a system to clean the voter rolls if they don't have any requirement for integrity or to mandate ordering states to clean up their voter rolls? That's not in the rules.
Okay, we're going to unpack more of this here, Tom. First of all, again, we're going to underscore this is a voluntary for states participation, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so it's voluntary there. And states then that participate, they get one person to be on this ERIC board, so to speak.
Right.
Okay. Now, but those same states who sign up for ERIC, they've got all these mandates. I mean, lots of requirements that they have, and part of it is just a massive data dump into ERIC every 60 days?
Yeah, they have to continually do this all year long. They have to keep watching and reporting on new additions to those databases and so forth, and keep it all up to date.
Okay, so you mentioned motor voter registration data. Now, I've seen what's happened in a lot of states, that there are a number of states that are including illegal aliens in their voter, motor vehicle registration and so forth, and others who are not eligible to vote. So all of that information then is going to ERIC?
Yes. Yeah, it's illegals who have been given driver's licenses. Information includes a lot of personal information. Like I said, their social security numbers, their date of birth, and their voter activity. Have they already been registered to vote? This sort of thing. Phone numbers, all kinds of information. A whole database on everybody.
But the interesting thing that you pointed out, though, is that what is not mandated by ERIC is for these voter rolls to be purged or to be cleaned up to remove individuals. Did I hear you correctly with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the main thing. They talk about if the states don't do all these other things they require, then they're in violation of the agreement that they signed with this. But nowhere in the agreement, nowhere in the rules does it say anything about purging the rolls of illegals or old names or anything like that.
Now, Tom, I found it interesting because Judicial Watch did a review of this, and and they investigated this data, and they found that, like in Sacramento County, California, with over 1 million registered voters, through ERIC, they removed zero. Brooklyn, New York, with 1.7 million registered voters, removed zero. Queens, 1.3 million registered voters, removed zero. New York County, including Manhattan, with 1.26 million registered, removed only two voters. Nassau County, New York, with 1.1, removed zero ineligible voters. I can't believe that, Tom, that there would not be, you know, ineligible voters that they find through these systems.
You have to ask yourself the question then. What's this about? What does ERIC, what's it designed to do? It's designed to set up cheating. It's what it's really designed to do. And I mentioned this a while ago. We got a report from a very small town in Nevada with a population of 3,000 looking at their registered voters. Now, this went through. There's also a voterreg.org that supposedly watches all this. In this little town of 3,000, they have 15,000 registered voters.
What?
According to voterreg.org, and the first four pages, all of the voters are 100-plus years old, and most just registered in the last 5 to 10 years.
Amazing.
There's no fraud going on here. It's totally a free election.
Well, that just bears out what we see also from Judicial Watch. 29 states had huge registration excesses. In 8 states, if you combined all their counties, their average registration for the entire state exceeded 100%. 7 of the 8 are longtime members of ERIC, one location had 14 of 39 counties exceeding 100%. So we're building up these massive databases of names that should not be on the voter rolls. Some have viewed this as being nothing more than the creator of a left-wing voter registration drive attacks on the taxpayer's dime.
It's literally how it started out. They called it a blue states project, and you know, to create more of blue states, and that was the original purpose of it. And then they started, you know, melding it down into this is to maintain voter rolls, and you know, so this is what we're dealing with. And they put out the mantra that the last election was completely legal. There was no voter fraud of any massive numbers in it, and that's just a fantasy and a conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. And you know, so don't worry about it. So and what's really frightening is that now out of the 31 states that are members paying $25,000 each into this, you have to add on to that Texas and Florida and some other conservative states. And, you know, so, again, how do we win an election if this kind of fraud is totally entrenched in through the system?
Friends, we're up against a break. We're going to take the break. We're speaking with Tom DeWeese here from the American Policy Center, and we're talking about ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center. And when we come back after the break, we're going to read the membership of states that are part of ERIC. And we talk about voter fraud taking place, but when you have a system that is disguised as a voter cleanup system, just recognize that's all it is. It's just a disguise. It is not cleaning up the rolls. When you have voter registration lists that are well over 100% of the voting population, we got a problem. We'll be right back. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is the ocean salty?
Chris, salt is added to the ocean on a daily basis as rain falls on the land surface, dissolving salt, which then gets into the rivers and ultimately to the ocean. And we can measure how much salt is carried in the rivers. We also know how much salt is in the ocean. A simple division of the amount of salt by the rate at which it's added shows us that the age of the Earth's oceans is far too young to have allowed for evolution, because evolution assumes that life evolved in the salt sea long ago. But if the oceans were old, it would already be so choked with salt that life would be impossible. You see, Chris, the direct scientific observations do not support the evolution idea. They do support recent creation, and that's the recent creation we read about when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, have you heard of ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center? Do you know that a majority of states of the United States are members that are paying in $25,000 annual fees to ERIC, and at the same time, every 60 days, dumping all this data about you into ERIC? Tom, I'm looking at an article that you put out here. This rundown of states is amazing. You said both red and blue. There's Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, the District of Columbia, Florida, Georgia, Illinois. There's Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nevada, New Mexico, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. Member states paying $25,000 a year, plus turning over all these records with the guys, we're going to keep our voter rolls cleaned up, but never to have names taken off the list.
Yeah, and of course you go through it. I got some calls from some folks in Arizona saying, well, you know, our Secretary of State is so corrupt, they won't pay any attention to us. What I was asking people to do was call their Secretary of State and complain about this and protest it. And I got, you know, calls back from several people about what happened. And that was one of the things from Arizona, but they're not even going to listen to us. And New Jersey said, well, it doesn't even exist here. And yeah, they aren't on the list, are they?
New Jersey,
I guess he was right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the good news is the state of Louisiana is the first state to stand up. The Secretary of State there said, nope, we're not going to participate in this anymore. We're going to get out of it. And that's because local activists started putting pressure on, knew about it, and stood up to it. So, you know, there's the first chance that we've had to. We know we can do this if we can stand up and, you know, protest it.
Who has access to the data from ERIC?
Well, ERIC, the people on their board.
Okay.
And, you know, is like I said, each person, each state that signs up for it gets another person on the board. But who is it? You know, they're appointed on there. Who are they?
Yeah.
How do they think? And what are their goals? And, you know, when it's coming from George Soros's pocket and going through a few charitable trusts, you get a pretty good idea. It isn't going to be somebody like you and me.
Right. No, it's likely a Soros-appointed, head of this board. And so this board is the one who oversees ERIC. I mean, is there any state, you know, secretaries of states, Congress, anybody like that who then has scrutiny over what's going on within ERIC?
Well, as I said, I've had some reports of some secretaries of state who've tried to ask questions about things, and they're not getting answers. Once you sign up for this, you know, you sign an agreement, you're going to send us this information, and you're just going to toe the line.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they operate. This is how it's been operating.
So we're, in essence, funding our own demise.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. And people don't even know it. And like I said, some of the people who got back to me, and they called their Secretary of State, and they said, we don't know anything about that. And some, you know, that how it operates. And somebody else, another state said, well, no, that's handled by, well, actually, it was South Carolina, said they have an elections commission, and those are appointed people, and that, the Secretary of State says, that's who handles this. Well, again, they set up these commissions, and then they say, you know, oh, we have to kowtow to that. No, you appointed them. You created them. You have the power to tell them what to do, but this is what they do. Whether it's in the state legislatures or the city councils or whatever, they create these extra little boards like
mm-hmm.
that, and then when we complain about it, they say, oh, we don't have anything to do with that. That's the board.
Yeah.
That's how they hide behind it.
Yep. And I mean, we're seeing in Wisconsin, they have, you know, they set up this Wisconsin Election Commission of three Democratic members, three Republican members, and we're seeing just, you know, horrendous activity coming from this commission. I mean, the integrity aspect of what we saw in the 2020 election is amazing. The voter drop-off boxes, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, that mantra of never let a crisis go to waste, and we saw that with COVID, Tom, how that was used to totally transform our election system and election integrity laws.
Absolutely. And, one of the things that bothers me the most about this, this whole thing with election fraud, and I've got a file that's about 2 inches thick with information coming from various states on fraud, and the Republican Party, the Republican leadership, keep saying, don't talk about that. That's just a Trump fantasy conspiracy theory, and we're not going to talk about that. And I'm thinking, what are you thinking? The goal is to wipe you out.
Yeah.
And they just completely, allow this to keep going on and don't challenge it, and that's what has to change.
So you indicate there really is a pathway for states to get out of ERIC.
There is. I mean, the Secretary of State of Louisiana just said no. We're not going to participate in this anymore. There's no law that says you have to be in this, and stop paying them dues and get out. And they can do that, absolutely.
I find it also interesting that in Florida they just passed legislation to create a special police entity to protect the elections. They created an Office of Election Crimes and Security, but yet at the same time they're a member of ERIC.
Yeah, exactly. They just work against themselves on this stuff. These legislators and so forth are ignorant to what they're signing up for. It just sounded real good to them because, this will help us clean up our voter rolls. But they don't look into it and find out that there's nothing in the rules of ERIC that says clean your voter rolls.
Mm-hmm.
So they're ignorant of it. They're going by a title. They're going by a little sentence. And that ignorance is absolutely going to be their demise.
Everything is about gathering information, and you went through some of those things. You talked about Social Security numbers and names and address. I mean, you went through a litany of things, and it's shocking to know the amount of information that states are surrendering to ERIC.
Yeah, and how will that database be used as we go through? As we're watching, and other things that are happening. Look what's happening in. This whole Putin war and so forth, and they get this information on people. They can cut off their bank accounts. They can cut watch the truckers.
In Canada. Yeah.
And they get that information. And what are your political views? And what do you post on social media? And all this sort of thing can absolutely cut you out of society. And this is.
We had the story of a woman who gave a $25 contribution to the trucker convoy there in Canada. This is before the emergency rules went into effect, yet because they went back and found she had given a $25 contribution to help, and all of a sudden her bank account was frozen, and she was a single mom with young kids and needed access to her money. But the state, in essence, Canada, had all this information to put that freeze in her account.
Now, this is something we have fought for decades through all kinds of various attempts to get these massive information databanks on everything in your life, a total surveillance society. This is exactly why we have tried to fight that and keep your information private. And yet you'll have law enforcement and others saying, well, if we had that information and we could cut down on crime and we could make sure this happens and that happens, yep, we could make sure we can control you completely.
Well, it's also reported, and the Gateway Pundit included the information, that ERIC located some 17 million new voters for the 2020 election, the most in the history of their organization. Now, going back to 2012, they only found 5.7 million voters. Now, 17 million new voters to participate, and whether they're eligible or not, or their extra names that are put into databases, I mean, when we have over 100%, number of over 100% of the number of people who are able to vote, their voter list is that long. Something's wrong there when it exceeds the population of the locale.
Yeah. Take a look at all the people who are leaving California and New York and so forth, heading to Florida, heading to Texas, whatever. Under these rules with ERIC, they are not removed from the voter rolls in their home states, and then they move to the new state and they register again. Now they're registered twice, and maybe three times if they move somewhere. And so you end up with those votes available. And they, of course, with the mail-in ballots, they mail them to everybody on that list and their addresses. And we heard all these reports of people getting 5 and 6 of ballots. And then you put them into a box, and who collects that stuff in the box? So there's no security anywhere. And, you know, some of these progressive groups have rooms full of people filling out ballots and putting all this stuff in step by step by step. We know on election night back in 2020 that they stopped the election, and all of a sudden boxes of thousands and thousands of new ballots all of a sudden showed up. This is how they do it. But that's all a fantasy and a conspiracy theory.
So, Tom, how can we secure the ballot box?
Well, first of all, we need to put pressure on these secretaries of state. And I know, as people are saying, like the Secretary of State of Arizona, so corrupt that they won't pay any attention to what we do and so forth. The thing is, we can't just make a phone call and do that. We've got to be on the ball with it and watch what is happening and make us think about it. It has to happen. They've got to feel some pain of what they're doing. They've got to know they're being watched. And your elected officials need to be, even in your local community, who's on the board of elections in your local community? What are they doing to protect your ballot and so forth? And we need to start making a lot of noise and a lot of pressure about this, or it's just going to keep on going. I mean, I know that sounds in a way just kind of elementary and so forth. Well, that won't do any good. Yes, it will. I have seen it happen across the country. What happened in the state of Louisiana are a very good group of activists down there who put the pressure on the Secretary of State, brought the information to them. If your Secretary of State is a good guy and he gets this information, he will back off of it. We just had this happen in Tennessee on another bill where we had an article we put out and we sent it, their activists down there in Tennessee sent it to all of their legislators. They saw what it was and they pulled the bill and killed it. So, you know, that's we have to be there. We have to be active and be involved.
And Tom, we talked about, I gave a litany of things at the beginning of the program today, the inflation that's going on, you know, the war on oil here in our own nation that we've seen from Inauguration Day on. You've been on this program a couple of years ago talking about the war on beef. We are now seeing come to pass the things you warned us about, environmental justice and the social justice move that's been going on, that what's happening at our borders. All of these issues really get tied into what happens at the ballot box.
This is a cabal that has been working dedicated for decades to move their agenda forward. They've gotten bolder and bolder as they've moved along, watching what we do to respond. And when nothing happens, they just keep going if we don't respond to it. And so here we are. All of those problems that you mentioned at the beginning, we could fix all of those in one day with a secure ballot box on one election day. We could fix that. And what's the mantra that they're putting out? Well, all that stuff for election fraud is just a fantasy. And any bills that you try to put in to secure the ballot box, that's just racist and so forth. Of course, that's what they're saying. They know that the feeling in this country now, with everything that's happened in this last year, suddenly a huge majority of people are aware of what's happening. And they know that if they don't secure that, keep this fraud going like it is, then they're going to be gone.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. Tom DeWeese is with us. AmericanPolicy.org is website. We'll give that out more afterwards. Our number to crosstalk, 800-733-9829. What do you have to say, folks? 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is with us today, president of American Policy Center, and we're talking about a topic you may never have heard of before. Have you heard of ERIC, E-R-I-C, the Electronic Registration Information Center? A majority of states that are a part of ERIC, blue states, have a special interest in this. Some red states have signed on to this as well. Pretty alarming when you take in light of all that's taken place here as far as voter integrity. And our number to crosstalk here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Tom, as you've been on this program numerous times, we talk about issues. You also are not just talking about problems. You've got solutions as well, and you've got so many different means of toolboxes on your website for people to really get involved in not only understanding what the issue is, but how they can also take action.
Absolutely. One of the things that all the years I've been working on all this that I've realized, a couple of things. First of all, if people don't feel victimized by programs, they don't pay attention to it. And sometimes it takes a while for them to feel the effects of these things. And what we're seeing now, I mean, almost everybody feels a victim of something going on right now. And I've never seen so many people rising up and wanting to do something. But the other half of that is that they don't know what to do. And what will happen is we don't organize. The other side is totally organized. They are in every single city council, county commission, state legislative meeting, every single one of them. They're there watching, listening, promoting, and pressuring. And we're not there. And so what happens is when something like this comes up, and they go, oh, did you hear about this? Anybody know about this? By the time we've asked all those questions, it's already in place. And what we have to do, and this is what we're working to teach people to do, is create what I call a permanent infrastructure to fight for freedom. That you've got people who are always there researching. You've got what we call the watchers, people who go to every single public meeting and just listen and record what's going on so you know. The hints are there. The stuff comes out if you're there. And it's what I call building a freedom pod in your community. Focus on your community and protect your property, protect your local businesses, protect your ability as an independent citizen to have your rights to live your life as you choose. Those are the pillars of freedom. Do it in your community, and if you succeed, next community will say, how did you do that?
Yeah.
And you begin to build on it.
Well, friends, I mean, it's amazing. Last Friday, we were talking about issues, and we were talking about the escalating oil prices, the war on oil from our current president. We gave out the White House comment line. And, Tom, this shocked me when I learned this, that, I mean, the White House comment line was always available 24/7 to leave comments at the White House. But now, under the Biden administration, I found that it's only open like from Tuesdays through Thursdays from like something like 11 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. I mean, it's like 12 hours a week that they open up the White House comment line. I mean, it's outrageous what's going on here. And I mean, and we see, you know, whether it be that the war on oil, the war on beef, and what I've seen here reported recently, and I know this seems like a different topic, but it's even related to what happens at the ballot box, this escalation of food prices. And we're told right now, hang on, be warned, because you ain't seen nothing yet. Put on your seatbelts, because there is this matter of fertilizer for our crops here across the United States, that a major producer of fertilizers is Russia, and they are halting exports of fertilizer to the U.S. And we also found that Epoch News is reporting China controls the supply of fertilizer to so many countries, and this is going to have a huge impact on the ability to grow crops.
This is what happens when they have preached all these years to have a global economy where we're all in it together, and when your country is not independent to be able to control its own economy, its own source of food and so forth, when you don't have that, you are subjugated to these whoever else is making the rules. And this is why we have fought this all of these years. Agenda 21, they said when Agenda 21 was introduced, they said this is a comprehensive blueprint for the reorganization of human society. Mm-hmm. How you liking it? This is what we are having, a total reorganization of our society. And this is what they've been working on, dedicated to for decades. And people are just now beginning to look up and say, what's this about? Why did this happen? This is what we've been warning about, and this is what dictatorships do. 12 hours a week on the line, they don't care what you have to say. They're going to put this administration and the Democrats in Congress and so forth have an agenda, and they refuse to back down from any of it, even though the entire nation is screaming, open up the pipelines, and they're ignoring them because that is not part of the agenda.
Yeah, and friends, this is where these freedom pods, Tom has talked about, that unit of government that is closest to you, you know, your city council, your county board of supervisors, the local planning commissions, how you can have an impact there, and that spreads out to the state and then certainly to the nation as well. So these are very critical issues. AmericanPolicy.org is the website. Let's go to some phone lines here. We've got Jerry calling from Whitewater. Jerry, you're on the air.
Yeah. You said Florida and Texas, which are conservative, Republican-run states. How did that get through them? And the other thing is, we need to – everybody listening to this program needs to get a copy – CD copy of this program, and who do we send it to? The secretary of our state, or do we send it to try and find out who's the House Republican leader and send it to him? Maybe who do we send this to?
Well, first and foremost, what we were advocating is you send it to your Secretary of State, because legally, in most states, the Secretary of State is the one that oversees the elections. And we've got on our website at AmericanPolicy.org, you'll find the action alert that we put out on this, and clear at the very bottom, it says call your Secretary of State, and you click on that, and there's a list of all the phone numbers of everyone in the country, and we need to do that. The idea of calling your legislators and even your Republican leadership and so forth is also a good idea. Wherever we can build that pressure, we need to do. We need to have an outcry across this country to reveal what this is, mm-hmm. to expose it, and demand that they get rid of it.
Right, but if they're Democrat that you're sending this to, and a Democrat Secretary of State, isn't this going to be basketball fodder?
When they ignore you, if you are organized, as I'm talking about, if you've got an ability to get information out, you can then say, why is our Secretary of State promoting, or our legislators promoting, election fraud? Why are they doing that? Begin to make them feel pain and answer the questions. And we don't do that enough. And I know it's difficult to do, but
yeah,
that's what we have to do.
It's going to be large numbers of people that's going to have to do this to change anything.
Absolutely. You can't do this alone.
Look what's going on in Loudoun County, Virginia. You know, people are rising up and saying enough is enough, and taking charge in that regard. And thank you for the call here, Jerry. Sadly, what happens, Tom, in so many cases, people, Secretary of State, it doesn't matter who gets in that position. I'm not going to go vote for that position. It really doesn't make a difference. But wow, oh, wow, does it really make a difference?
And it does. That's the thing that they have done. The progressives have dedicated themselves to fill every single position they possibly can. Doesn't matter how small it is, it has some kind of influence or it wouldn't exist. And when was the last time we cared who was on the Board of Elections in your own county? When was the last time we cared about who the county attorney was? But these are the guys, the county attorneys were the ones who were imposing the COVID lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Board of Elections is controlling what's going on locally in your election thing. Yeah, they may have rules from the state that they have to follow, but if they know you're watching every single thing, they're going to be much more careful about how they count those votes.
Let's go to West Union, Ohio. Brian, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I just had a question about recently Bill Barr had come out against Donald Trump saying that there was no election fraud, and I was just wondering what's his agenda and who is he actually for? That's my question, and I'll hang out and listen.
Well, it's my own personal opinion, but I think he was the wrong guy for Trump to pick for that position to begin with. He was the Attorney General under George H.W. Bush, and George H.W. Bush was a big promoter of a lot of these globalist policies, and so I think that kind of tells you what some of his stance was. And he definitely did not hold the same political views as Donald Trump.
Let's go to anonymous caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling because I'm calling from Wisconsin, and I have to renew my license, and they are asking for a bunch of stuff, like your current license ID, Social Security, proof of date of birth, marriage licenses, a whole bunch of stuff. And if you don't give it to them, the only things that you'll be able to do are drive and vote. You won't be able to fly. You won't be able to enter any federal facilities.
That's the
I don't know what to do.
That's the real ID issue, Tom.
Yeah, the real ID is behind a whole bunch of this, that and the Patriot Act, both of them. And that's what they do. Now, the interesting thing is that if you had crossed the border illegally, across Texas or something down there, they wouldn't ask you any of those questions. They just give you a driver's license because that's only fair.
Yeah, so this listener is saying, what do I do?
To do. Well, it's coming up in April.
Mm-hmm. You know, they have the pointing the gun at your head and say you have to do this. You don't have much choice. What you have to do is work to organize, to build the groundwork, to make sure that you change these things and push it back. One person just standing there and saying I'm not going to do it doesn't change it, and you just suffer the consequences for that response. You have got to start to organize and. Find your friends, find your neighbors. They're all having the same kinds of problems. And we've created on it's available on our website an activist handbook that is designed to teach you how to organize locally and deal with all this. And that's simply what we have to do. We have ignored it for too long, and you're suffering the consequences from it.
Let me just say this. I just went to the TSA website, and they mentioned this. And now. They say beginning May 3rd, 2023, every air traveler 18 years of age and older will need a real ID-compliant driver's license, state-issued enhanced driver's license, or another acceptable form of ID to fly within the United States. So, number one, Tom, I want to point out that this deadline they had actually several years ago, and they keep pushing it out. To a later time, and it could be that they're going to push it out again, but they're getting more and more people to register for Real ID, think I'm going to have this, without, having that hard implementation date. But then they also say, or other information. So it may be that there is something other than that, because people can renew a driver's license without Real ID. They may have to go back and get a Real ID if they would comply with this, but that can keeps getting kicked down the road by a TSA, part of the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, they were supposed to be last year. What did they say the deadline is?
They say beginning May 3, and I'm looking at it right now.
This year?
No, 2023.
Oh, okay.
May 3, 2023, every air traveler 18 years of age or older will need a Real ID compliant. TSA.gov/real-ID is where they have the information. Caller, thanks for bringing that issue up, and that's the demise, the dilemma, I should say, that many people are facing with this, because the information that they give to, the Department of Transportation and Division of Motor Vehicles is what is then being surrendered to ERIC for its database collection. Well, we're up against a break. We'll take more calls following. Tom DeWeese is with us today. His website, AmericanPolicy.org. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Last year on my radio show, I began to read a document from the Rockefeller Foundation that's entitled Reset the Table, Meeting the Moment to Transform the U.S. Food System. Well, what is that moment? When will that moment be? My friends, I believe that moment is pretty much right now. What's going on? Massive food price increases, massive inflation, a fertilizer crisis, a fuel crisis. Much of this has all been manipulated. So many of the things that this administration and central government have been done deliberately to bring down America. Do we really think that many of the people in office today are working for America, or are they working for China? All you got to do is read the book by Peter Schweitzer to know many of them have been caught red-handed taking the money and influence of China. And now they want to accomplish what the Communist Manifesto calls for, getting the government control of the food so they can get control of the people. I'm Brandon House. This is the Worldview Report.
Tom DeWeese is with us here today. We're talking about ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center. Tom's website, AmericanPolicy.org. Right back to the phone lines. Dominique is calling in from Muckwonago, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just really appreciate what Tom was saying about having an infrastructure to fight for freedom and to make them feel the pressure from citizen participation. And I would like to talk about something happening on Wednesday. First of all, Speaker Voss is meeting in a private meeting, and they've agreed to let them not be recorded for an hour.
Let me just interrupt you, Dominique. So for context, Speaker Voss would be Robin Voss, who is the Assembly Speaker for the state of Wisconsin's legislature.
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
And then after that, they're going to have a press conference of whatever or meeting in a room of whatever came out of that, and they would like a lot of citizens there at the Capitol for that meeting. But then that night, Speaker Voss is meeting with the GOP county leaders in a meeting at the Best Western in Plover, Wisconsin, 5253 Harding Avenue. And we need thousands of patriots at both of these events to show that we want election integrity. We want to remove ERIC. We want to remove WEC. We want to decertify the Wisconsin electors. And we want to remove Assembly Speaker Voss. He's been very corrupt, and he's been doing some really bad things. And just because he initially hired Gableman, if he doesn't follow through on anything Gableman's report revealed, then that's not working. So I don't know if any of you all have been calling and contacting your representative and senators, but they're done, and they would need to call a special session to decertify the electors. And they're hiding and saying, oh, well, we can't. It's not really in the Constitution. Well, neither is car theft. Prosecuting car theft is not in the Constitution, but the founders had ways of doing these things, and they gave it to the states and the people to figure these things out. So just because a car is in the possession of the thief doesn't mean that you don't prosecute and you don't return it to the correct owner. So there's so much. I wish I had the time to actually really get into it, but they need to decertify the electors, and they can call a special session, and they need to feel the pressure. And Wisconsin Citizens for Election Integrity are giving all of the representatives and senators in Wisconsin Assembly and Senate to Thursday the 17th, the day after the meeting with Speaker Voss, to come out in a press conference or press release saying they will work to decertify the electors, or they will work to unseat those people.
Dominique, thank you so much. Is there a place people can go for more information in the state of Wisconsin?
I can send you information if you can possibly post it in some of it.
Yeah, I actually needed it for the broadcast right now as people are listening, but thank you so much, Dominique. Appreciate it. Philip in Richland, Washington, you're on the air. Hello, Philip.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hello, this is Philip Gordon from Richland, Washington. I think that what's needed is a verifiable printed copy that we can send to the Secretary of State. We need it in writing, printed and verifiable, and then we can send it in. And if this is sent to all the secretaries of state in the nation, they would start getting wise to this organization.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. So he's like a one-page fact sheet, Tom, looking for something like that they can send on to the secretaries of state.
On our website at AmericanPolicy.org, both the action alert that I put together, which has a lot of the details in it, and then one of the articles we also produced that has more details in it that are there. And as I said, in Tennessee just recently on a different issue, one of our articles was distributed by hundreds of activists to their state legislators, and they pulled a bill based on that. And so that may be something else that that you can do, get it in their hands. When you've got good, honest elected officials, they'll look at it and take it to heart. It's the dishonest ones who will ignore it, but that ain't going to change them anyway. But one of the things that the founders did was they made it the states have a lot more power than people really understand they do, and they can stand up to the federal government, and so forth, and they listen to the people, and they can get rid of this thing overnight if they get the pressure. We've got to put the pressure on them.
Let's go to Ann in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air, Ann.
Yes, I'm a big fan of Tom's and admirer of his stance and thinking. But, Tom, I'm a struggling optimist in these days, and I heard Bill Federer on Crosstalk say something that just has stuck in my throat in a way that, of truth, and that is, have you ever seen a dictatorship voted out of office? I don't think we get it. We are a coup occurred. We are in dictatorship right now. And the example of the woman with the, you know, wow, you know, if they're forcing you to do it, you've got a gun in your head, is from way back when things weren't bad. Things now are 100 times bad. So I'm behind everything you're saying. I wish everyone would go to the Capitol, every human person, with pots and pans in our hands, anything, with
Let me. I'm going to have Tom comment on this, Ann, because time is drawing short, but... But last week in a press conference, President Biden, I mean, he doesn't think he sees the trouble that his party is in at this time. And, Tom, he's actually warning the country that if, you know, things don't turn around here, then he's going to have to be dealing with a House and Senate full of Republicans.
They know it. They know full well. And we still do have elections. And some states have done some things that can clear some of this stuff up. And I'll tell you what, I know it's hard to stay positive. It's difficult for me as well, but I'm the eternal optimist, and I have never been more energized because more people are energized now. But, you know, you cannot replace the Republic in one day at one meeting, but we have got to put a massive light on these guys of what they're doing. I have seen them run scurrying like crazy when people stand up and put the spotlight on them. They are cowards when it comes right down to it. And the trouble is we haven't been standing up, and this is what we get for that. But people are starting to do that now. Look at those trucker rallies. Look at the kids, the mothers in the schools. So that we are winning in a lot of those places. And you've got to take, I don't care how small the victory is, it's a victory. And you've got to build on that victory. And we've got to organize and stand up and be heard.
And thank you for the call. We're going to try and squeeze John in quickly from Minnesota. You're on the air.
Yeah, I got a question for Tom. I saw something online where I think my first wife voted, and she died in 2002. How do I check that? Where do I go to check into that?
Okay, a past spouse who died is found to have voted. Tom, how can you get that corrected? Get her off the list.
Well, again, the Secretary of State's office or the local Board of Elections should be able to clean the voter roll. Should be able to
contact your local clerk's office to begin with. Tom, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for joining us. It's AmericanPolicy.org.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from CrosstalkAmerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.